I've been in some services where God wasn't within 1,000 miles, and so I can tell you it's really nice when the Lord shows up at church. He's here today, and what you're feeling today is the presence of God, and when God comes, He really has a purpose in coming. It's not just so we can feel good and have goosebumps. He comes because He wants to change His people so we can be more like Him. Amen. And the word Christian was actually began with a derogatory term in the first century when Jesus rose from the dead. They said these Christians, which these little, they're trying to imitate Christ, are taking over. It was meant to be a criticism, a derogatory term. And so the word Christian means Christ-like. Are you like Christ? Are you really a Christian? And when God shows up and when He gives us His word, His purpose is for us to be like Him, to be in His image. Amen. We're going to finish our last session on the Abide series. How many of you enjoyed that? We've been talking about abiding in the Word, living in the Word, reading God's Word, applying God's Word. And our last session is entitled, The Truth Will Set You Free. The Truth Will Set Us Free. How many here have ever had a credit card debt or a student loan debt or a Chico's credit card debt, you know, some kind of, how many have ever had been in debt before? Okay, some of you can raise both hands. Just one hand will do. But remember when you paid it off and when the final payment came in, particularly if you had a student loan, when the final payment for the car payment, the final payment came in, how free you felt. And how liberating it was. There's something that God wants to do with you and I when we talk about growing up in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Can I tell you what? There are some brave people here, but a lot of people are not free in America. They're in bondage. And so the Bible says that God's word is here not just to encourage us, but to set us free. To liberate us, to eradicate captivity. We're going to be talking about that. And when it talks about, our theme has been abiding. The word abide, it's on the overhead, the definition. If we could go to the next slide, please. Yeah. To abide means to remain in the same place or position for a prolonged period of time. To abide in Christ is to completely depend on Him for all you need in order to live for Him and serve Him. The word abide is an old English term which means a place in which where you live. If you were talking 200 or 300 years ago to someone in Europe, you'd say, where is your abode? Where do you live? We lived in New Zealand, Australia. They would use terms like, what is your address? Or where is your flat, your apartment, your flat? Here in Tallahassee, people say, where you stay at, you know? We understand where you stay is your house, where you live, your abode. My question is, where have you been staying? Where have you been living? Where is your abode? Where is your house that you run into when the storms of life come upon you? To abide means to stay in a position, a prolonged period, where you're there and people know you're there. The truth will set us free. You know what? For people who are in captivity, freedom's a great thing. For people who are restrained or confined, freedom is a great thing. My son-in-law, David Westmark, where's David at? Raise your hand, David. Where'd he go? He's over there. David was confined to the bed for 10 days. He could not get up. Back pain, sciatic pain, he could not get up. And when we went over and prayed for him, God healed him. And can I tell you what? He jumped up and there was a great look on his face. It was called freedom. Freedom. I lived in New Zealand. I would periodically go to the incarceration place, the penitentiary, the prison. And they would have a place there where they would have solitary confinement for very, very cruel and criminal offenders. They put them in solitary confinement. They were captives. They were prisoners. They could not get out. Then they would have a place where they would release people into the prison yard. It was not solitary confinement, but they were still prisoners. They were still confined. There are a lot of people who may not be locked up spiritually in solitary confinement, but you're in a prison yard and you think, hey, I can walk around a little bit. Maybe I'm okay. Can I tell you what? Confinement or restriction is still imprisonment. It's still captivity. Let's read here in John chapter 8, verse 23, and we'll read through 32 and just follow along on the overhead. This is Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees about who he was, that he was God in the flesh. He was the incarnate Yeshua HaMashiach, the great I Am. And he's talking here in verse 23, and he picks up the conversation. He was saying to them, "You are below, and I am from above, and you are of the world, and I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they were saying to themselves, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things in which to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these things I speak to the entire world." For they did not realize that he had been speaking to them about God the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When the Son of Man is lifted up, then you will know that I am he." Now it's interesting, he's using the word "I am," that in this context he was saying, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great Yeshua HaMashiach," which Old Testament records that it was forbidden for anyone to take that word on their lips. But here he's saying, the I am of Deuteronomy, the I am of Genesis, I am the same I am. I am he. In other words, if you want to see God, you're looking at him right now. I'm God incarnate in the flesh. Later we find out they wanted to stone him because he was claiming to be the same as God. He was claiming to be God. And he says, "I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak the things which the Father has taught me. And he sent me, is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Verse 34, next slide. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you will be truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." How many like the proposition of being free? Of being debt free, of being delivered, of being set at liberty? We all love that concept. Jesus made a very conditional proposition here. He uses the word "if," which is a conjunction that has a big condition to it. If you continue in my word, if you will read my word, if you will abide in my word, then the word will set you free and you'll prove to be my disciples. Do you really want to be free? There's a condition. You got to be in this word. You got to read this word. You got to imbibe this word. You got to digest this word. You say, "Well, Pastor Ken, I read the Bible before and I've got a faith problem." No, you don't have a faith problem, sweetheart. You have a word problem. You say, "Well, I'm nervous and anxious and I've got a money problem." No, you don't have a money problem. You got a word problem. You don't have an anxiety problem. You got a word problem. What does the Bible say? It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Read the word and quit worrying about your life. The word has your answer. Amen. You have a word problem. It's a deficiency of the word, not a deficiency of anything else. Where are you staying at? Where are you abiding? Turn to the neighbor next to you and say, where you stay? Where are you living? Where are you abiding? Get out from under the TV. Get off Instagram. Get off Facebook. Get in the Word. Amen. Abide. Live. Stay there. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love that. There's something in the power of the word that is able to strip away the chains and the bondage of sin, bad habits, crazy ideologies, anti-God worldviews. It's able to strip it away. If you abide in that word, the word is this magic thing that can cut away everything that would keep you bound to death and depravity. That's why the devil doesn't want you reading the Bible. He don't care if you come to church. He doesn't care if you come to church. Don't read this Bible. Don't meditate on this Bible. Don't confess it. Let me tell you, the worst thing you can do is get a Bible out and start walking around campus or having it on your iPhone or your tablet. The worst thing you can do for the devil is to ruin his day. Just have the word around you. Start reading the word. Start confessing the word. Have it a part of your life. You'll be free. John 8:34 says this. It's on the overhead. Next slide, please. Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." Notice the comparison. That those who continue in my word, they will have liberty. Those who continue in sin and commit sin, they are held captive or a slave to sin. The very thing God came to do was to set the captives free, to bring liberty to you and I, and he does it through his word, through his proclaimed word that we receive it. And the very thing the enemy wants to do is to keep you and I in bondage, to keep us in fear, to keep us slaves to his false ideologies and his lies. What does it mean to be captive? Next slide. It means to be taken and held as a prisoner, to kept within confines, held in control of another, having control, rather, of another, and having the appearance of independence. Let me read that again. It means taken and held as a prisoner, kept within confines, held in control of another, having the appearance of independence. Have you ever seen people who are totally controlled by the things of sin and lust, yet they think they're free? I have. I remember I was preaching out UCLA years ago when Ben and Becca were little, and I was preaching out there and on the campus, and this guy who was a well-known drug peddler, selling drugs on the campus, smoking weed every day, and he came up, he said, "Man, you know, Jesus is cool, but I don't really need that because I'm free." I said, "Are you?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Why don't you give up that marijuana for a day?" And he said, "Well, I like it. I don't want to give it up." I said, "Really, you're free. You're so free to do the things you want to do that you're captive by this little weed." He couldn't go a day. He said, "I hadn't gone 3 years without smoking weed every single day." Here he is walking around thinking he's free, but he is more captive. He's more prisoner than anything else. Can I tell you what? There are a lot of people in Tallahassee that look free. They drive their cars. They go to school. They go to work, but they are captive. They're captive by ideologies, by the habit of sin, by the powers that are in this world system. They are held captive. And Jesus said, "If you spend time in my word, I will set you free." Colossians 2:8 says this: "See to it that no one take you captive." Say captive. Captive. See to it. Make sure nobody takes you captive through the philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See to it. Make sure. Give attention to the fact that no one should take you captive. Nothing, no one could captivate you, put you into a cage, restrict you, confine you. We live in a country that's supposed to be free, but so many people are bound by sin and bound by deception. They're confined, they're restricted, they're captives. And it ought not be. This week I had a chance to go pray for a young man who's had an addiction problem with drugs. Stephen and I had the chance to go pray for a young man, and and he was walking around and he was working at his job, and he's had a problem with opioids, and we were looking at him, and you watching him walk around, he looks normal. He drives a car, but he can't get off these drugs. He's captive. He's held captive. He appears to be free, but he's held captive. See to it that no one or nothing takes you captive. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." What are fortresses? Fortresses are ideas or thoughts or ideologies that people have. "Powerful for the destruction of fortresses, and we are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Can I tell you something? You had better take your thoughts captive, or your thoughts will take you captive. You had better possess your thoughts, or your thoughts will possess you. Oh, yeah. I talk to people all the time. They can only think about one or two things. They have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. They're obsessed with one idea. One idea. They can't think about anything else. Can I tell you what? That idea has captivated them. There's a fortress in their mind. They think they're free, but they are a slave to this one idea. They're fixated and can't get out. It's amazing. You say, "Well, not me, Pastor Ken. I think about a lot of things. I can." Oh no, you don't. You don't. You and I, we don't think about thoughts. We multitask. We try to do all these things, but we don't do that very well. Can I tell you what? The human mind does not have the ability to hold two thoughts simultaneously at once. You cannot hold two thoughts at the same time in your mind. I don't care if your brain's big enough to fit in a number two watch tub. You can't do it. Let me give you an example. How many were here Friday night for the prayer and fasting? How many went out to Cracker Barrel to break the fast with us? Raise your hand up high. Wake up high. Okay. How many remember what you had? Don't say it. Think about what you had after you broke your fast. Remember what you had? Yeah. Yeah. Now, I want you to tell me when your birthday is. Abby, tell me when your birthday is. Say it again. Okay, make sure everybody gets their gift on July the 11th. Now, let me ask you a question. What happened with the thought of what you ate when you fasted for 5 days when you had to stop to think about your birthday? That thought left your mind, didn't it? You stopped thinking about that chicken pot pie or whatever it was you ate. And what happened to you when you had to stop to listen to her tell you July the 11th? That thought changed from listening. Can I tell you, you cannot hold two thoughts at the same time. Thoughts will dominate you. They will take you captive. You can build fortresses in your mind and walk around talking about I'm free, yet you are in bondage. We live in that kind of world. See to it that no thoughts takes you captive. For the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Can I tell you what? God's word is supreme over my thoughts. The only way it can happen is if I meditate, if I live in this word, if I abide there, then God's word takes precedent over the crazy thoughts that try to fill my mind. Anybody here ever had a crazy thought? The rest of you are lying. Has anybody here ever had a crazy thought? You thought, why did I think that? God, that's nuts. I don't want to do that. Years ago when Rebecca was little, we went to Paris, France, and we were preaching there and traveling through Europe, and we were in Paris visiting the parasites. No, just kidding. We were in Paris, and we decided to go up on the Eiffel Tower. You know, the Eiffel Tower, it's a landmark for Paris. We went up on the Eiffel Tower, and I'm sitting there, and Rebecca's a little baby. She was probably a little older than Emily is right now, maybe 8 months old. And I'm holding her, and we're on the Eiffel Tower at the very top. You can see for miles. It's amazing. And they have these big grated fences up there so people won't jump off. And we're reading the sign, and it translates in English, this is a restrictive fence to keep people from committing suicide and jumping off. Evidently, people go up there to commit suicide, or did. So I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's crazy. You sure would be dead if you jumped from here. You know, I'm walking around, you know, there's no hope if you jump from here, bro. You know, it's all over. And I'm sitting there thinking, all of a sudden, a thought came to my mind. Why don't you throw that baby over? I kid you not. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm not lying. I'm looking. I'm talking. I rebuked us. No, no. You say, well, that was really terrible, Ken. Well, so was that whole chocolate cake you ate on Friday night, too. So anyway, that was a terrible thought. But you know what I did? Instead of entertaining the thought, what did I do? I took it captive. I didn't let the thought capture me. I took it captive. I didn't let it build a fortress. And you know what I did? I said, no, in Jesus' name. I was so angry at the devil. I couldn't speak French, but I started talking to people and said, hey, Pierre, come here, man. Let me tell you about Jesus. I'm going to get you back, devil. I'm going to witness to everybody up here about Jesus. I love this baby. Nothing's going to happen to her. That's how the devil works. He does not play fair. I mean, he comes to Jesus, and after Jesus fasted for 40 days, he comes to Jesus and says, why don't you bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all this stuff you see before you. I mean, what crazy. Jesus already owns it. He's God the Father. He's the second person in the triune Godhead. He is fully God. Why would he bow down to a created being like Satan? See, the devil, he doesn't play fair. He'll get you to believe anything if you'll believe it. He'll get you captured to think God doesn't love you, or people are against you, or this is wrong, or that's wrong. He'll get you to believe any lie he can if he can capture you, if he can cordon you off from people. He doesn't want you to come to church. He doesn't want you reading this Bible. You say, well, I've got a faith problem. You don't have a faith problem, sweetheart. You have a Bible problem. You need to read the word, then your faith will grow. Then fear is not your problem. It's a lack of the word. It's a lack of faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Take it captive. Don't let it capture you. Take every thought captive through the obedience of Christ. I love what Jesus said through the prophet Isaiah 61:1. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Wow. Some translations say to the captive. He has anointed me. There's an anointing on me. There is a power on me to bring good news, to set you free, to get the chains off you so that you can be what God called you to be. And the prophet goes on. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive. Liberty to who? The captives. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Can I tell you what? He's talking to the nation of Israel. These people had a covenant with God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They also knew about slavery. They were 400 years slaves to the Egyptians. They were just about to enter into slavery with the Assyrians and the Babylonians for 70 years. They knew what it was like to be slaves. And the prophet says that he's anointed me, and there will be a prophet that will come, and he will liberate you from your captivity. There's an anointing on this church, ladies and gentlemen. There's an anointing on you if you're breathing and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. There's an anointing on you to speak words that can set captive free. Break every yoke. Cause people who are captivated, fixated on an idea, an ideology, and eradicate and destroy it so they can be free and liberated. I don't know about you, but the prospects of that are very, very encouraging. Can I tell you something else? Thoughts occupy mental real estate. Thoughts live in your mind. In that when you know what your thoughts are, when you understand what you're thinking, you can actually make a choice not to think those things. You can say, I want to think God's word. I want to think God's truth. That's why it says in Deuteronomy that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. He told the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, he says, write it on your forehead. In other words, whatever you can do to memorize it, get it in you, because once you get it in you, it battles against all these false ideologies and all these other things that try to take you captive. Romans 12, 1 and 2, very familiar scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world. What does that word mean, conformed? It means, the Greek word means, don't be squeezed into the fashion of the world system. Don't let the world confine you. Don't let the world push you into its mold. Can I tell you what? There's pressure outside of these doors to get you to be like everybody else who hates God, who have no idea that they want to find God or worship God. They're following after their own pleasure and lust, and there's a pressure out there. He says, don't let that confine you. Don't let that imprison you, but be set free, be liberated, but be transformed. I love it. Transform how? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, so that you and I may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And how do we do that? By the washing of the water of the word. How do you renew your mind? You read this word. You meditate on this word. You confess this word. When I first got saved, you know what? You may say, well, this is kind of silly, Ken. I slept with my Bible under my pillow. Yeah, I knew there was a devil. I knew he didn't like what I was doing. I slept with this Bible. I got up, I'd read it. Sometimes I feel tempted to do something, I just read it to the devil. Devil, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Let's read together. Read it. He won't stay long. He won't stay long. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, one guy told me, he said, you Christians are brainwashed. I said, you know, you're kind of right. Yeah, my brain was pretty filthy, and I took the word, started washing it, started pouring the word, the water of the word over my understanding. And, you know, I feel a lot better about life now. Life makes a lot more sense. Some of us need to get more brainwashed. Some of us need to wash in the water of the word. We need to read this word, meditate on it. You must possess your thoughts, or your thoughts will possess you. Don't let those thoughts take you captive. You take those thoughts captive instead. Jesus said, they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. You have a choice today. You can either live in captivity, you can live in confinement, you can live in conformity to the world, or you can be set free. Truth will set you free. The source of truth comes from God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word manifests itself. In verse 14, John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You really want truth? All you have to do is read Jesus' word. You know what Jesus said? There are a lot of people who say, well, I love Jesus. I really love the Lord. He said, if you love me, you'll love my word. Where have you been abiding? What has been dominating your schedule? Where you stay at? Where do you live? That, my friends, will determine if you're going to be free or not. That will dictate if you're going to have liberty. There's nobody in here that doesn't like liberty. There's no one in here that wants to be a slave. Remember what he said? If you keep my word, then you prove to be my disciple. If, the conjunction, conditional conjunction, if you want to be free, if you want the word to set you free, you're going to have to do his word. You're going to have to live his word. You're going to have to abide in his word. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. So, Pastor Ken, what's my responsibility here? What am I meant to do? Very simply, three things. Number one, you need to accept the word. Accept it. Receive it. Yeah, I accept that. Now, I'm not just saying mentally accept it, like, oh yeah, I believe the Bible's true. No, I'm talking about accept the fact that this word is life, and if I imbibe it, if I drink it, if I read it, it's going to change me, and I'm going to have that life. Accept it. Receive it. Number two, act on it. Some of you have heard the word. You have much more Bible knowledge than you have Bible obedience. You need to act on it. Start doing it. I want you to nudge your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you now. Act on it. Can I tell you something? That word to know God's word is actually comes from a Greek word, which means to, is the transliteration is genosko, which means an intimate relationship that a man has with his wife. That if you act upon it, if you relate to it, if you abide in it, just the way when a husband and wife know each other, they produce children. In the same way, if you act, if you genosko the word, all of a sudden there's fruit in your life. God doesn't want you to be a hearer of the word. He wants you to be a doer of the word. You've heard enough. Now it's time to do. Now it's time to get out of the stands and quit clapping for the football team and get on the field and score some touchdowns. Amen. We have to act on it. We have to do it. So receive it, number one. Receive it. Accept it. Accept it. Now act on it. Say, God, I'm going to do whatever the Bible says. I'm going to do what it says. If it says I'm supposed to read it, I'm going to read it. If it says I'm supposed to pray, I'm going to pray. If it says I'm supposed to do whatever, I'll do it. I'm supposed to be in church, I'll do it. And all of a sudden, you're going to see a whole new vista of Christianity come up. Let me tell you what, when you start obeying the word, Christianity is really fun. It really is fun. You see the blind eyes open. You see people jump out of bed who've been in bedridden for 10 days. You see people with rashes, people who can't have children. All these things start happening. Why? Because God's word is true, and he's waiting for people not just to believe it, but to proclaim it. So I believe that. Good. Now let's get to the proclamation. Act on it. Let's get to the application. Act on it. Let's start doing the word, not just being a hearer only. So accept it, act on it, and three, abide in it. Abide in it. Live in it. My question is, where have you been staying? Where have you been living? What has been captivating your imagination? What's been dominating your thoughts? Whatever it is, that's what's going to control you. If the word is controlling your thoughts, your life is going to be much different. My encouragement that we would abide and allow God's word to change us is make us more like Jesus, who are not just hearers of the word, but we are actually the embodiment of the word. Turn with me on your iPhones or tablets to Psalms 119. I want to finish this with a story. Psalms 119. Rachel, you can come on up. I asked Ben if I could tell this story because this happened many years ago when he was being recruited to play football at the University of Hawaii. We lived in Auckland, New Zealand at the time. I think it was 2010. Ben had gone to a big man camp in Hawaii. He played rugby in New Zealand. He was a big kid, and Rebecca was already playing for the basketball team for the University of Hawaii. And I thought this would be great to get Ben there. That's the closest American university that plays football to New Zealand. So we'll, you know, hopefully we can get him a scholarship and he can go there. So we go to the big man's camp, and the University of Hawaii, he catches their attention. And they say, we want you to come through, and we're going to give you an official recruiting visit. We're going to pay for you to come for 3 or 4 days, see the university, put you up, treat you like a king, and hopefully you'll sign with us and we'll give you a scholarship and the rest will be wonderful history. So Ben goes to Hawaii. We're living in New Zealand and he travels there and they put him up, was it the Sheraton or Hilton Hawaiian Village? Hilton Hawaiian Village, beautiful, on Waikiki Beach. It is gorgeous, ladies and gentlemen. It is as nice as you've ever seen. 85 degrees, the wind's blowing, everything's great. And Ben's telling me he's out by the pool waiting for the coaches to come take him out to dinner that night. And as an 18, 19-year-old kid, he's out there by himself, far, far from home. And he says he's sitting there minding his own business. And this lady comes up, older than him, 24, 25 years old. Very pretty lady comes up and begins talking to him. And basically propositions him. Would you like to come spend time with me? Here's an 18-year-old kid, and I thought, golly, that's the devil right in your face, smack dab in your face. I said, son, what'd you do? He said, Dad, I was scared. He said, but all I remember is a Bible verse. Came to my heart. I couldn't run away from it. I said, what was the verse, son? Psalm 119, 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you, God. He said, Dad, I got up and walked away when everything in my flesh wanted to pursue this situation. The word came out, changed me, prevented me from doing something that would have changed the direction of my life, but more importantly, I would have sinned against God. Can I tell you what? I was more proud of him at that moment than anything he's ever done in football, and he's done some great things. The word of God will protect you. The word of God will liberate you. It will be your shield. If you will abide in this word, if you will put the word in your heart, God will use it as a great bulwark and shield to cause you to walk in righteousness. You don't have a temptation problem. You don't have a lack of faith. You don't have an anxiety problem. You've got a word problem. Will you abide in the word? Will you put God's word first place in your life in 2022? Will you love Jesus by loving his word and making it priority in your life? My prayer is that your answer is yes. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. God, we need to accept your word. We need to receive it. We need to act on it. We need to abide in it. Lord, today I just pray, that, Father, that people would take the chains off. Let your freedom come. Let captivity end right now. Captivity of thought, captivity of action, captivity of emotion. Let it all be gone. Father, I'm praying today that people can be liberated and set free. You said the truth will set us free. Father, I thank you. That's true. I want to pray a simple prayer, two prayers. If you're here today and you say, I've been bound in sin, sin has captivated me, Pastor Ken. I've allowed sinful attitudes and sinful thoughts to dominate my life. I'm putting a stop to it today by the grace of God. No more. I want to be free. I want to be free. I don't want to be a slave to pornography. I want to be a slave to lust. I do not want to be a slave to bitterness. I want to be free. If you're here today and you're saying, that's my prayer, God, set me free. The truth will set me free. I need that freedom. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. Just say from your heart, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've let the enemy take me captive. Today, by your grace, I'm breaking these chains. By your grace, I'm saying no to sin and yes to God. I'm taking these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I am letting liberation come into my life. I'm going to abide and live and do your word. And because I accept it, Lord, you said there's freedom and there's liberty. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for defeating sin, death, and hell. And Lord, because you did that and your word declares that, I receive right now your forgiveness. And I walk in freedom. I am free because the word sets me free. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to raise your hand up high and say, yes, I prayed that prayer. Just stand up. If you've raised your hand, stand up. Just stand up right where you're at. Stand up. And I want you to say out of your own mouth, just as loud as you want or as slight as you want, just say, I am free in Jesus' name. And I'm going to abide in God's word. I accept it. I receive it. And I'm going to abide in it. Father, bless these people now. And Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name that you would do a tremendous work, that they take these thoughts captive and allow your word to have first place. You may sit down. I want to pray a second prayer. This is as important as this first prayer. Some of you have been hesitant and fearful to speak the word, to proclaim the word to people. What will they think? How will they receive me? What if they reject me? What if they think I'm unusual or strange or weird? Can I tell you something? They probably are going to think all those things and some more things. But I can tell you this, it's still the truth. It's still the truth. Some of you in here today, you need to say, God, I'm going to start proclaiming your word because it's true. I'm going to do it in love. I'm going to do it respectfully, but I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to let the fear of man push me into the shadows anymore. I'm going to start speaking your word. I'm going to start inviting people to church. I'm going to start doing a life group or inviting people to my life group. I'm going to start doing the one-to-one in the purple book. I want your word, the truth, to get out because I love you, God. I want your truth to be multiplied and grow and prevail. If you're here today and that's your prayer, in fact, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I am sorry for shrinking back on your word. I'm sorry for being afraid to proclaim your word. I'm sorry for letting the world push me into its mold to confine me and captivate me because I was worried about other people and what they may think. Lord, because your word is true, you said it will set me free, and I know it will set other people free. That's why the devil doesn't want me to speak it, but I'm going to speak it from now on. From this point on, I am going to be a proclaimer and purveyor of the truth, Lord. And if you open up doors for me, I will walk through them, and I will speak your word because it is true. And I resist fear, and I reject that captivity from this day forward in Jesus' name. If you prayed that second prayer, raise your hand up high, please. If you've raised your hand up, I want you to stand up. Just stand up. Just pray this from your heart. Say, God, I repent for letting the fear of man control my life. I repent for letting the opinions of others keep me captive. I am no longer going to be confined by the opinions of others. Lord, I'm going to speak your word because your opinion is more important than man's opinion. The fear of God is more important than the fear of man. And because your word is true, I am going to proclaim your truth when you give me opportunity. I'm going to do it with love and kindness, but I'm going to speak the truth because it's true no matter what. Lord, give me boldness, but Father, I thank you for setting me free from fear, setting me free from conformity in this confinement of fear. I'm going to proclaim your word from this day forward. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Father, thank you for this whole congregation. I agree with Pastor Ron that you're doing something amazing here, that you're going to set us free as we abide in the word, as we stay in your word, as we read your word, as we make your word preeminent, God, you will give us victory and freedom, and God, we will set the captives free as we proclaim your word. Stand with me as we dismiss. Father, I pray a blessing over all the people today. I pray if anyone has a prayer need or anyone needs counseling, Lord, they would come up front. Afterwards, please come forward if you need prayer, if you need to talk to a counselor. The ministry team will be here. But Lord, we pray a blessing over this congregation, and we pray that let your word grow, let it prevail, and let it spread mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you next time.